Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, in verse 16 to verse 21. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, in verse 16 to verse 21. If you're there, say amen. All right, I'll read in verse 16, you'll do in verse 17, and make sure your neighbor is reading. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17, everybody. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Verse 21, everybody. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we receive from you this morning the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. We pray that this morning the service will continually experience that presence of yours that has been with us since the beginning of today's services. Blessed be your holy name. We give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please shake somebody around you and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. We began a series of teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you because we are in the season of manifesting the grace and the potentials of God on the inside of you via the instrument of the Spirit of God. We've been able to establish some key points. I hope you get the CD of the previous teachings, part one and part two of this teaching. Get the CDs and listen to them. They will help you a great deal. If there's anything we've been able to establish in the past three series of teaching we've done, is to be able to establish the fact that three things are very crucial to your, or critical. I like the way those who teach on success will put it. They say there are some things we call critical success factors. And critical success factors are factors without which you can't succeed. You need them to succeed. So I want to quickly mention this critical spiritual factors that you need to take into notes, or possibly critical factors that you need to give good attention to. Number one is the fact that if you will manifest as it is the will of God for your life this year, you need three important things working together. Number one, you need strength. You need physical strength. Hallelujah. The Bible said the glory of a young man is their what, sir? Strength. The joy of the Lord has become my strength. So strength is very critical. When Caleb was about to take up the mountain, the first thing he made boast of is that he is as strong today as he was several years ago. Joshua made the same statement, all talking about the importance of strength. You see, we all come to a moment in our lives when we come to realize how that vision and strength need to go hand in hand. And for those of us who have strength now, it's important to have vision, because if you have strength and you don't have vision, strength will be misdirected. Tonight, you're going to be having quite a number of people hanging out in different places, possibly starting from this morning. You're going to have people exhibiting strength in the wrong directions. It's what I call misdirected strength. It is what I call wrongly channeled strength, because the strength you have today is a valuable asset which has its time limit. You will not always be strong. You have to do today with strength what you'll be enjoying when strength is no more in place. The unfortunate thing is that you will have so many regretting, hoping that they should have, would have, could have done some things when they were younger, but didn't do them because they misdirected their strength. And at old age, they must eat of the profanity and the vanity that they have committed themselves to while they were young. This is the right time to match strength with vision. This is the right time to make sure that your strength, if ever channeled, it is channeled in the right direction. Have goals, have visions, have plans, have expectations. Make sure that you're living to accomplish something and push your strength behind it. To have vision and not deploy your strength is a reason why many are living in frustration. Because many think that vision in itself will work out itself. You see, if your vision must come to pass, then you need to deploy strength behind your vision. Is that okay now? So that vision that God has given to you, that dream that you have, that goal that you have, if you do not deploy strength behind the vision, making sure you apply yourself to it, making sure that you have maximum concentration and application of your efforts towards actualizing it, then you wake up someday and discover that, well, you see, I had a vision, but I didn't know why it didn't come to pass. Visions don't come to pass on their own. The Bible says, wait for it, it shall come to pass. The word wait, that does not mean just sit down and just look at vision come to pass. The Bible talks about the fact that you have to write it so that he that will run with it. So there is a place for the deployment of strength in the actualization of vision. Somebody say strength. Number two, you need what I call skills. Skills. People of God, it's important for you to realize that if you're ever going to go far in life, strength is critical. Skills are essential. Is that okay now? Because you see, if you apply strength without skills, you may get the job done, but you will get it done after applying too many or too much strength. What that simply means is that time, which is an essential factor in the realization of your life's objective, time can be wasted because of the application of strength without skills. The Bible says, if the mouth of the axe is dull, so much strength will have to be applied. I'm not saying you will not fall down the tree. You may fall it down longer after so many of your friends, your equals, have since gone before you. You see, you need strength as much as you also need skills. You need skills as much as you also need strength. So if you have strength, you have a vision, you have something you want to accomplish, please integrate into the availability of strength the all important factor of what I call skills. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you're doing today, your civil servant, your corporate servant, private servant, a public servant, whatever kind of thing you do, you're a business person. It's important that you have strength, you have skills, and above all, the Bible said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So you need the spirit of the Lord. So I call them the three S that are very essential to your success on the earth. And I want you to try this. Why don't you measure yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? On a scale of 1 to 10, write the word strength, write the word spirit, write the word skills. Now on a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself and ask yourself, in the pursuit of my life's goal, the prophecies, the vision, the dreams that God has given to me, when it comes to the application of my strength, meaning I give myself completely to it, on a scale of 1 to 10, how can I say I rate myself? Am I giving my very best to the pursuit of my life's dream? On a scale of 1 to 10, are you putting yourself on a 5, on a 6, on a 7, on an 8? Can you say you are applying the best of yourself to getting the best out of your vision? Strength, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Number two, skills. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, asking yourself the all-important question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how can I say I fare in the pursuit of the vision, the goals, the dreams that God has given to me? What kind of skills do I need? And what kind of skills do I have? For David, he needed the skills to be able to deal with what we call opposition. And so God had to train him in that area at the backside of a desert. where David had to deal with lions, he had to deal with bears that came against the sheep that he was taking care of. So he evolved what I call a warring skills at the backside of a desert. Not only that, you see, on the path to fulfilling his destiny, David needed to know how to play strings. And he will not have an opportunity to learn it when the opportunity comes. So he had to be prepared before the opportunity comes. The Bible says that there was a time when Saul needed someone in the palace. And of course, it was David that he needed. You see, it's one time, one thing for God to say, you will be the next president of this country. It's another thing to take the prophecy and say, God, what kind of skills does a president need? And then you begin to evolve the skills that the president needs. You see, that is what I call faith. Because the Bible says, faith without works is what, sir? Dead. The Bible says, in actual fact, show me your faith by your what, sir? Your walk. So if God says, I'm going to be the next president, the proof that I have faith in what God has said is that I go to get skills that the president needs. I need the skills of managing people. So I need people's skills. I need administrative skills. Presidents must mind how they talk in the public. One wrong statement from a president can destroy a whole country. One inability to make the right diplomatic statement can push your country into a state of disrepute before the international community. So presidents must evolve skills of communication. You must also learn leadership skills. The question is for the assignment that God has given to you. My question is, do you have the requisite skills to become what God has said you will become? It's a very important thing. Number three, you need the presence of the Spirit of God. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. At 10, put hypernumia. The word Holy Spirit is pneuma. Pneuma. Is that okay? P-N-E-U-M-A. That's the word for the Holy Spirit. Pneuma. Is that okay? Now, if you are at 10, maximally operating in the fullness of the Spirit, we call that hypernuma. And then if you are operating below the frequency of the Spirit, we say it is hyponuma. Is that okay? Meaning there is the absence of the Spirit of God in your life. It is just you walking around places, using your energy, using human strength. You are limited because of the absence of the Spirit of God in your life. Are you at the hyponuma level or are you at the hypernuma level? Anything from 7, 8, 9 upwards, you've entered into what we call the hypernuma level. 5 is average, not too good for you, because you can easily fall down to 4, 2, 3, 1 and get down to 0. 6 is not too ideal, because you could fall down to 5. The best place for you to begin to operate is to operate from 7 upwards. It said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't have an average dimension of the Spirit. Amen. Those who will make great exploits in the 21st century and in this decade. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this decade. I don't know about you. I'm so excited about the year 2010 to the year 2019. I'm sure all of you know that mathematicians begin to count numbers from 0, not from 1. Is that okay? 0 to 9 is 10. Is that okay? And then from 10, you begin to count another to 19. And then from 20 again, you begin to count another decade. Is that okay? We have entered into the beginning of a new decade. And the foundation that you lay will determine the things that will happen in the end of this decade. I see great things happening for you. I don't know if you see what I'm saying, but I said for anyone who has eyes to capture the vision of the future, I see this to be the most essential, most productive, most result-oriented decade of your life. You better say amen, because you will see it at the end of this decade. Like play, we started 2000. We call it the millennium something, Y2K. Just like play, it was yesterday. Wouldn't it amaze you to know that 10 years of your life has just gone down the drain like that? Hey, we are just at the beginning of another new decade. And like play, we will wake up and like, what happened just now? And it's all over again. Another decade is gone. But for some of us, it's important to know that by the time this decade will be over, we are no more as young as we used to be. Am I talking to somebody here? Add 10 years to your life right now. Ask yourself, how old will you be by the time it is 2020? Am I talking to somebody there? And the question is this: how much strength will still be available to you? And if you in fact have some strength, how much time will you still have? Praise God. That is why I call this decade the window of opportunity. This is the decade to get it done. This is the decade to make it happen. This is the decade to do it. In fact, permit me to use the word. This is the do it decade. Please touch your neighbor, say do it. Don't talk it, do it. You don't have time. Do what you want to do. Go where you need to go to. Apply where you need to apply. Start what you need to start. This is your window of opportunity. At the end of this decade, your son will no longer be a 3-year-old boy. Your son will be a teenager. Looking at you shoulder to shoulder, daddy, he will have to disagree with you and agree with you. Your son will begin to take on his own identity. Daddy, please, I'm sorry. I appreciate that's for you and mommy. For some of you, your children will be having their second, third grandchild. You'll become a grandmother, grandfather. This is a unique decade. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited about this. This is the decade to bring out your album. This is the decade for that book to hit the market. This is the decade for that company to begin to spread. This is that decade. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I just prophesied now. Somebody needs to say a big amen in the house of God. If you're ever going to succeed like you really want to, you know the three things that I've mentioned. Get the CDs of the previous teachings. I elaborated on those things. I've been able to make you understand the five things you must know about the Holy Spirit. All in the previous teachings. And I've been able to start talking to you about the ministry of the Spirit to you. In my last teaching, I did say to you that the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. I do not intend to overlabor that point today. I'll leave you to go back to that. My concentration and my consideration this morning will be on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you, which is to give you what I call revelation knowledge. Somebody say revelation knowledge. Somebody say revelation knowledge. That's one of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus left the Holy Spirit here. That's why he sent him to you. He sent him to you to give you revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. There are two kinds of knowledge that governs the earth today. There are two kinds of knowledge. That's what we call sense knowledge. That's what we call revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge is natural knowledge. Revelation knowledge is spiritual knowledge. Revelation knowledge comes from above. Sense knowledge comes from the earth. And Jesus said, that which comes from above is above all. And anyone who functions by that which comes from above will also be what? Above all. Now the Bible says, I don't know if you believe that, but the Bible says that you will be above only, and you shall not be what, sir? Beneath. Now it's one thing to say amen to that prophecy or prayer, but it's another thing to understand how to be above only and not beneath. How to be above always in the sphere of influence that you find yourself in. As a doctor, you can be above only and not beneath. As a mother, you can be above only and not beneath. As a father, you can be above only and not beneath. As a business person, entrepreneur, you can be above only and not beneath. Whatever your sphere of influence is, you can always be above only and not beneath. And the key to being above only and not beneath is what the Bible says when Jesus spoke. It said, "He that which comes from above is above all." Now, what is it that comes from above? Knowledge, called revelation knowledge, comes from above. It does not come from beneath. So if I function by revelation knowledge, which comes from above, I can be what, sir? above. Oh, come on, Lord Jesus. I'm sure you're catching this so quick. I'm going to take that carefully because somebody just woke up right now when I said that. Now watch this. If I want to be up, okay, maybe I should break it down because Africa, we're used to more prophetic kind of preaching and instead of teachings that are more intellectually inclined. You know, but I like teachings that stimulate your intellect, makes you think. Amen. And just something somebody has already digested and is just giving me the outcome. All right, so let's keep that aside. Now, the point is this. If I have, you know, the common statement here is under the circumstances. You're not born to be under the circumstance. Is that okay? In the situation, huh? You're not supposed to be in the situation. All right, so if I am faced with a situation that others are drowning in, and I want to be above a situation, what that means is that I want to walk on water. The waters that others are drowning in, I want to walk on. Is that okay? I don't want to be drowned by the waters of mortgage. I don't want to be drowned by foreclosures and the rest of that. I want to walk above waters. I don't want to drown in the waters of unemployment. I don't want to drown in the waters of rentage for the rest of my life. I want to walk above the waters. Many of us have a lot of waters we need to walk above here. Amen. Different waters. Waters that are afflicting us, drowning people. Hey, Noah, tell us a little bit of your secret. Noah, how is it that the water that drowned others, Noah, how is it that you floated on it? And Noah would tell you that in the secret place of concourse, where I was having fellowship with God, God gave me a revelation knowledge. God showed me something to build my life after. The knowledge that God revealed to me, I did not get from any carpentry school. It came from above while I was in the place of prayer. God revealed to me an ark. And God said I should begin to build what I saw in the realm of the spirit. So, if you see me above the waters that others are drowning in, I am simply operating above the waters, not because I am special, but because I walk with a different kind of knowledge. They are drowning and have drowned because they operate with sense knowledge. When they saw water coming, they began to think of swimming. But the Lord showed me something. Revelation came to me to build an ark that nobody has ever built before now. Something nobody has ever done. So I operated by revelation knowledge. And so I have to operate above the waters that others are drowning beneath. I'm making a point right now, and it is this. You see, if you want to walk above the waters of life that others are drowning beneath, you need to log on to the frequency of revelation. And I'm talking about revelation knowledge. Build your life by revelation knowledge. Build your marriage on revelation knowledge. Jesus looked at Peter. He said, the flesh and blood, sense knowledge has not revealed this to you. But my Father, which is above. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? And he said, upon this rock, not upon Peter, upon the revelation knowledge, will I build my church. The church is not just a place for us to disseminate sense knowledge. The church is a place for us to get revelation knowledge. This is the custodian of a kind of knowledge that the professors of Harvard don't have. This is the place where the leaders of this world will not be able to access. Oh my God. Jesus said something. He said, Father, I thank you for thou hast hidden these things from the great and the mighty, but you've revealed them to babes. Oh God. And the babes turned their worlds upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to talk to somebody here to let you know that if you will impact your world, it is a function of revelation knowledge. Touch your neighbor, say, get revelation knowledge. I like the fact that you went to Harvard Business School. Kudos. Love the fact that you went to University of Ibadan. Why not? Thank God for the name of your professor. But then I can talk to you about a man called Smith Wigglesworth, who never went to school, never read anything,
But the man look at dead bodies. The one that doctors will look at, conduct autopsy on, and confirm dead. And after doctors have confirmed dead bodies dead, using their sense knowledge, the man's with Wigglesworth came to the place. He said, "Doctor, can you please excuse me? With your stethoscope and your machines and your equipment, can you please get out of this place? Another kind of knowledge is about to invade this room right now. Something is coming from above, and your presence can be a limitation to that." Jesus entered into the room of Jairus and saw the daughter of the man, the Bible said, dead. Who said she was dead? Some doctors, some physicians there confirmed her dead. And they came to Jesus and said, "Master, she is dead." He said, "It depends on who says she is dead, and depends on the knowledge that informs what you say. If you use your sense knowledge, what you can hear, see, and touch, to use to make the deductions, well, there is another kind of knowledge. And this knowledge is not based on hear, see, and touch. This knowledge comes from above. And if it is above, from above, it will be above death. It will be above sickness. It will be above infirmity." And Jesus stepped into the room. He did not just drive the people out. He drove sense knowledge out of the room. He commanded sense knowledge to get out. He commanded philosophy to get out. He commanded psychology to get out. He commanded anatomy to get out. He commanded physiology to get out. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? Touch your neighbor, say, "Walk with revelation knowledge." Woo! Can I preach this simple? Can I talk to somebody in the house of God? Don't make me reserve the things that I want to share here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we're talking about the import of the power of revelation knowledge. And so you look at the man like Noah, how that the Bible says that the whole of his generation were destroyed. We call that the Diluvian generation. They were wiped up by the water, But you see, there was a man whose family was preserved. Was it because they were just perfect? No, they functioned by revelation knowledge, and so they entered into the class of distinction and exemption. Your family can be exempted. Your marriage can be exempted. Who says every marriage must end in a divorce? That is statistics. Oh yes, there is a projection that most marriages, 3 out of 5 marriages, will end up in a divorce within 10 years. That is a projection, and that is based on sense knowledge, looking at what goes on. But boy, my marriage is not based on sense knowledge. I build my home on revelation knowledge. I build my marriage on what the Word of God says. The Bible tells me men shall dwell with women according to knowledge. So I dwell with my wife according to knowledge. The Bible didn't say, take it down. The Bible didn't say that women dwell with men according to knowledge. So the woman is not supposed to be the one seeking for the knowledge to dwell with man. But the man is to seek for the knowledge to dwell with the woman. So I build my home on the infallible, indestructible, and inerrant Word of God. Time proven, time tested. Survived many generations in trying to disprove the Word of God. They've only come out to prove the Word of God. Scientists call it discovery. No, it's simply because they've not read the Bible. They came out to say they discovered that the earth is spherical in shape, that the world is cycle in shape. Hey, come on, keep quiet. What do you call a discovery? The Bible says the one that sitteth upon the circles of the earth. You should have read the book before now. Am I talking to somebody in the house? Oh yes, oh yes. Now they've made some new discoveries. They said to us that, look, if you eat vegetables, you eat this, you eat that, and you stop eating a lot of fat, you're going to live long. Hey, that's not a new discovery, friend. You go to the book of Leviticus, they're all there, where the Lord warned them about what not to eat and what not to eat and what to eat. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? What do you call a discovery? It's just your ignorance of scriptures. The Bible said they err because they know not. They err because they know not. They err because they know not. Touch your neighbor, say, get some revelation knowledge. Oh boy, how far can I go today? Amen. So build your home on the revelation knowledge. If you see anybody that is living a distinguished and enviable life, stop looking at them and envying them. Find out what they know. And every time if somebody's ahead of you, he knows something you don't know.
Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? If somebody's ahead of you in business in this country, that person knows something you don't know. That something could be someone. That something could be a product. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So whatever it is that makes somebody to be ahead of you, it is something that the person knows that you don't know. The more you know, the more you flow. The more you know, the more you flow. Keep on knowing. Keep on flowing. Keep on flowing. Keep on growing. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? I just said that to somebody now. Somebody didn't get it. Now, the Bible says, I saw waters flowing from beneath the temple, and as the waters kept on flowing, the water kept on growing. And eventually, the water that kept on flowing and kept on growing became a river I couldn't swim in. The more of revelation knowledge you keep on receiving, it will get to a point in your life whereby the revelation knowledge becomes so overwhelming that you see it overwhelms the whole of your life. Everything. You're thinking about business, revelation knowledge. You're thinking about your marriage, revelation knowledge. Somebody comes to talk to you, looking at it from a revelation perspective. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? Hey, I remember the Bible says, and the waters began to come from the heavens and burst from beneath the earth. And as the waters began to rise, hallelujah, the waters began to rise. The ark has been built, the ark has been kept on the ground, but the ark could not rise until the waters began to increase. The reason why that business has not risen from the ground is because there's no flow of revelation knowledge. The more revelation knowledge you have, the more water, because the Bible calls the water of the word. Is that okay? By the washing of, so the Bible likens water to the word. Is that okay? And you know one thing I've seen, flesh cannot survive in the water of the word. There is, oh, woo, boy. Oh, touch your neighbors and get some revelation knowledge. I feel something here. The Bible said the ark was on the ground. Somebody's ark has been on the ground for a long time. You're wondering, God, why is my destiny not moving? Why am I not experiencing lifting? Hey, if you want a lifting, you want a moving forward, begin to get more revelation. The Bible said the water kept on coming from beneath the earth. You see, initially when it began to come, it didn't move the ark. It was only shaking it. Is that okay? Just keep on getting more of it. Let the water keep coming. Let the water of the word keep on coming. Keep on drinking. Keep on receiving more of revelation knowledge. It will get to the point in your life where the revelation knowledge suddenly begins to lift you up. Because, oh boy, am I talking to anybody in the house? And people will be looking at you and they'll be like, what is your secret? They'll be wondering, what is it? When others are saying there's a casting down, you are just saying that. Wow! Give me the Bible. Let me have that thing in my hand. I love my Bible. See this thing? How much do we buy this thing? 1,600, 2,000. But this has produced eternal millionaires. Billionaires. This one. This thing. This is not as voluminous as some of the novels you read. Huh? But if you really read this thing, I'm not even saying study. Just read it small. Study this thing small. Read small. Try this thing. Try it. Kano Shiandea. And as you read this more, just ask the Holy Spirit, please sit down. Teach me what was on your mind when you made those who wrote this thing to write it. I don't want Pastor Sam interpretation. Give me your own interpretation of why this thing was written. The Bible said this thing is health and medicine to your bone. They asked a man of God, they said, is it that you stayed healthy for almost 90 years? He said, I take 3 doses of this in the morning, 3 doses in the afternoon, 3 dosage in the evening. He said, because I found in Proverb that the Bible said this thing is medicine. So if it is medicine, what do you do with medicine? You take it. You take doses of it. If you are sinking in any aspect of life, get the dose of this thing. My God, you know something happened? When I gave my life to Christ, 1989, my first word was God, because that I was praise God. And I was one guy that had a lot of girls around me. So the question was, how was I going to stay away from girls? That's my challenge first. I'm going to overcome girls. I know you all don't have any problem like that. All of you are just born again, and you've been coming to church, and I know you don't have any problem. You're okay, but you know, I'll catch you one day when you're opening the door for her. I will catch you. You will forget your address, and I will. You will wrongly call my number by saying, Jenny, it is me. You will call my own number. I'll catch you. I'll buzz you up. Can you imagine? 2 days ago, my wife entered a taxi going to Wuse Market in my lifetime. And the man looked at my wife and said to my wife, hello, madam. How are you doing?
Please, are you married?
My wife said, yes, I'm married. And so oh, that's great too. I was just would you mind if I just go out with you? I say you should have brought me his car number. I'll use the number to cost the car. It will not operate in the whole of Abuja again. My wife, the one that Abraham can lie on and say she's my sister. It's one thing to marry a wife, it's another thing to marry the one that resembles you. Praise God. Now watch this. We need to get down to the basics. You need revelation knowledge to survive. You need revelation knowledge to succeed in the world that you find yourself in. Is that okay? All right. So quickly, let me share with you what sense knowledge is all about so that you can appreciate revelation knowledge. Praise God. Revelation knowledge versus sense knowledge. What is sense knowledge? Very important. Sense knowledge is natural knowledge gained through natural senses. Natural knowledge that is gained through what? The natural senses, or the five physical senses. What are the physical senses that we have? The sense of what? Seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, hearing. Is that okay? Now, this is how we perceive knowledge. That's in the natural world, that's how we get information. Now, you are getting information now because I'm speaking. Is that okay? And you are doing what? Is that all right? And sometimes when you're passing, when you're getting close to your house, maybe you've left home for a while and then you're getting back home and then, oh, here is this aroma that hits you at the door. And just by perceiving an aroma, you can tell what's being cooked. Is that okay? So you gain knowledge by smelling. Is that okay? Oh no, there's a rotten egg here because you did what? You perceived that via smelling. Am I correct now? So this is how knowledge comes. Knowledge comes via what we see. Is that okay? You see a young lady and something. The Bible says, and David was looking upon the roof and he saw Bathsheba taking her bath. And the Bible says, bring her to me. In between seeing and bringing her to me, when he saw her, he perceived that a knowledge came to him. Something came, an information came to him. If you sleep with this one, your life will be changed. And that's the truth. If you sleep with any woman outside your wife, your life will be changed. That's the truth. Your life will never be the same again. And as you keep doing it, your life will never remain the same again. And if you're sleeping with somebody that is not your own husband also, see, in fact, your life is already not the same again. And the more you are sleeping with people that are not your husband and your wives, and particularly you young men now who are becoming sugar daddies to, younger brothers to sugar mommies. Now, your life already is, your mother in the village needs to stop. She has to forsake food now. But already your life is no more. Praise God. And the more you continue, the more your life will never be the, until it will never be the same. Today is a good day. And so some people's life may never be the same after this evening. I hope your own life will remain the same. Because the Bible says Jesus the same yesterday. So I hope your own life at the end of today will remain the same. Touch your neighbor, say, don't let your life change today. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. So we perceive things through smelling, through hearing, through tasting, touching, and smelling. We gain sense knowledge by going to school. Is that okay? Study mathematics, physics, and all manner of things. And then I encourage that. You need to go to school. You know, go to university. Go to whatever institution you have to go to. Whatever information center you have to go to get information. That's good. Go to those kind of places to get knowledge. Another place where we get knowledge is via our life experiences. Is that okay? Our life experiences feeds us with knowledge. They either are wrong knowledges or the bad ones. Sometimes you get a breakup and as a result of that, you evolve the wrong knowledge. Is that okay? Ah, all men are bad. That's not the truth. That's subjective. That's not objective. Is that okay? All women are wicked. No, that's subjective. That's not objective. That's not universal. It is exclusive to you because your experience has taught you that. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? All right. So it's important for you to realize that we gain knowledge in the natural world through schools, interactions, associations. We gain knowledge from exposure. The more you travel, the more you get information. The more you get knowledge. Like I said, something happened to me in this church here. That's where God exposed me. You know, I shook one of our women in church. And the moment I shook her hands, she was like, "Pastor, come. And I'm like, "What's that?" She said, "My pastor, please don't go and do this outside, though. I better tell me before I go and mess you up outside." What she said? She said, "Pastor, the way you shook me wasn't firm enough. I shake a woman and make firm." In fact, the right thing we were taught when we were growing up, one don't even shake. So, but because of liberal Pentecostal now, if you must shake, make it fast, brief, quick. Because they told us that if you stay long, current can be transferred. They told us. And we went about with that, expecting current. How about me transmitting current? Why is it that it's the only woman that can transfer current? And if there's any current that can be transferred, can't you transfer the grace of God? I know that through laying of hands, power can be transmitted. So why is it only lost you are expecting? So she shook. That's revelation knowledge again, eh? Okay. Now, so she said, "Pastor, you have to shake firmly." So I went back home and I went to start doing studies on the etiquettes of handshake. And only on handshake alone, I discovered 25 different principles governing the world of handshake. And how that just by shaking somebody, you can tell the person whether you have a criminal mind, whether you have a weak character, whether you are somebody that is secretive, just by handshake. Whether you don't want the person in your life, whether you are the kind of person that is isolated, just by handshake. So you imagine now that you are a sister and God has led you to a brother who is exposed with this kind of knowledge and you don't know anything. I say, "Hi, sister, how you doing?" And then he wants to shake your hand. And I just say, "Thank you, sir. Thank you." And just put it out, you remove it quickly. Now, what you minister to him is different from what you have just done. To the young man, this girl is secretive. She has a weak character. She has something she's hiding. He concludes, "You have a criminal tendency." So you wonder, "Pastor, since last week he has not been answering my call again. He's not picking my phone, my email." Your handshake has... I know it was God that led him to you, but handshake has canceled it. Now watch this. By association, I gained that knowledge. Is that okay? And this knowledge are quite good. Is that all right? But there is a better kind of knowledge. And there's a better way to get knowledge. And that's what we call revelation knowledge. Somebody say revelation knowledge. But let me say something to you about sense knowledge. You see, number one, Satan always moves. Only, please take note of this, Satan can't move in the world of revelation knowledge. So if Satan wants to destroy you, Satan can only destroy you by moving through your sense knowledge. By making you feel something, and when you feel something, the next thing is make you to know something, and the next thing is to make you to say something, which now becomes a law on your life. So I feel a little bit funny, and I say, it's like, and the next knowledge I get from it is malaria. So I open my mouth and I say, it's like I'm having malaria. And medical science just confirmed what the word of God has said for a long time. They just confirmed that every time you open your mouth and speak negatively through your auditory canals, there are sensory neurons that pick the informations, send it to the processing center in your body, and give your body a command to shut down in accordance with your word. Is that a new discovery? Death and life, their words are in the power of the tongue.
Okay, let me move on quickly. So, if Satan wants to destroy an individual, what does he do? He moves through sense knowledge. What you hear, he makes you to hear something. When Satan wants to destroy your life, he makes you to see something. When Satan wants to destroy your life, he makes you to smell something that you've already said bye-bye to. Some of us don't understand that. How many of us, okay, so that we don't disclose some, because a man may just raise up his wife and say, sweetheart, but you never told me. I don't respond Valentine to you. But you know, some of us used to smell some things. I'm not just saying we smell it, we sniff some things. And now we're children of God. But you see, if Satan wants to destroy you, he does not use another man's weakness to attack you. That is why your temptation may not be my temptation. There are people that if you strip naked before them as a woman, you're wasting your time. You'll just be fooling yourself. They will spit on you and walk away. Your nakedness won't move them. But there are people that just standing from afar, you are heavily dressed in police uniform. They are imagining what is behind the police uniform. They don't come to our church. No doubt, no, but no, God has blessed us with a very good church. I will thank God for our members. We are going from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. You will remain like that in Jesus' name. You will be righteous forever in Jesus' name. You will be holy forever in Jesus' name. Your eyes will be single forever in Jesus' name. Eh? You will not behold a maid, behold. You will not behold her in Jesus' name. I didn't say amen. You know, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not what, sir? Behold, not see. Behold this. Be. I see it and I hold it in my mind. Close your mouth. Move on. Sometimes you see some men and you are, what kind of a man is this? Somebody is washing. I see this advert. Somebody is washing a car. Is it watering flower? It only happens in by PHB. Those people. We have some of them here. Always dreaming of cars that will use water. And we've not seen one. Hydrogen, water-driven cars. The bank PHP. All right. Are you comfortable now? All right. So watch this. Whenever Satan wants to destroy your life, he moves through sense knowledge. What you see, that is why you need to mind what you see. Some of us will be free from sin for a long time in our life if we mind and regulate and censor what we watch. You cannot be praying to overcome a sin and at the same time you are fueling it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now this is it. You build your greatest defenses around the area of your greatest weaknesses. I need to move on quickly. Hallelujah. Number two, Satan always uses natural circumstances to attack your mind. Satan creates situations in the natural so that he can, through the situation, give you an information. Don't miss that again. That is why sometimes when you hear where they just recently sacked everybody in our office, that is a situation. Don't let the devil give you an information from it. You see, your life is over now. I told you, it's generational causes. They are following you. Your life is useless now. You can see yourself. There's no more hope for you. Your life has ended. And then you sit down and he begins to preach to you. Can you imagine how useless your life is now? What will you do with this useless life now? See, nobody in your family is progressive. Can you imagine yourself too now? And you are there. Oh God. And you are crying. And Satan is still preaching. What will you make with this life now? You don't have money. You are broke. Everything. And everything. Job is just gone. Hey, you wake up and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In all things, I give thanks. Oh, they say I just lost a job. No, I just had a door close. Oh, but thank you, Father, for every time you close a door. My God, you open new doors, seven new ones.
Father, I thank you for 7 new doors that have just been opened. Now I thank you for revelation knowledge leading me to where the doors are. Leading me. Because once that door is shut, there are 7 new ones that have just been opened. The issue is not to be crying over the ones that have been shut. While you are crying, the doors have a time lap. The doors will not be open forever. So you spend your time crying over a closed door when 7 new ones have been opened, but you waste your time by the rivers of Babylon weeping over things that you should share the grace over. Come on. Satan uses natural circumstances to attack your mind. Satan can't overcome you, but in the realm of sense knowledge. If you are the type that it has to make quite, it has to be proven, it has to be correct. Which principle states that? Is it Archimedes principle or... If you're always in the realm of knowledge, Satan will defeat you easily. But you need to move on to the revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. And what we're talking about, revelation knowledge, we're talking about the special kind of knowledge that the Holy Spirit comes to reveal to you. He just comes to you in the night and just reveals them to you. In the office, he reveals it to you. Special kind of knowledge. Specialized knowledge for specified situations. Whatever you're going through, there is an answer to it. Right now, if you just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Give me knowledge. Concerning this confusion, give me information. If you will intensify the prayer, the request, if you'll be consistent, it will come true. Revelation knowledge is the foundation upon which the church of Jesus Christ was built. It is powerful. It is Satan dislodging. It is not based on hearing, smelling. It is not based on touching. It is based on the inner knowing. Paul, the apostle, knelt down and prayed. He said, I pray for you, the church in Ephesians, that the Lord will grant unto you that you might have what, sir? The spirit of your understanding to be enlightened. What he was praying for was for revelation knowledge in their spirit. Paul said, I'm not praying for you to have cars. I'm not praying for you to have good marriages. You see, if you have revelation knowledge, you can have a good marriage. If you have revelation knowledge, you can have a good job. You can have a good business. You can have a good career. Revelation knowledge. I'm talking about the knowledge that God comes to share with you. I'm talking about what God comes to tell you concerning what is going on in your life right now and how to go about it. And hey, can I say something before I miss it right now? God is willing to speak to you. The point is, you are not constantly available to hear him. Is that okay? Oh, somebody say, Lord, I'm ready to hear you now. Say it one more time. Say, Lord, I'm ready to hear you now. Now watch this. Revelation knowledge is different from sense knowledge for one reason. And I'm going to close with this. Revelation knowledge comes from inside and affects outside. Sense knowledge comes from outside and affects inside. And why does it come from outside to affect inside? Because the only way revelation knowledge can come to you is inside. But if I've destroyed what is going on the inside, what have I stopped you from receiving? Revelation knowledge. And Satan knows that he can't win you when you are operating with what? Revelation what? So what do? I make sure something from outside goes inside and destabilize you inside. A phone call comes. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Right now, some of you are just looking in church. Because you got a news. You got an email yesterday. Something happened on Friday at work. And it has come from outside. Inside, and it's right now disorganizing you on the inside. And you see, you need your inside to be calm for revelation knowledge to come. Because if revelation knowledge can come inside, it can affect what is going on outside. Because it takes revelation to change situation. Did you get that? In my last 1 minute left, let me preach it like I want to say to you, please. The time has come to know that in order to master circumstances and situations, you need to shut your eyes, stop looking at what you are seeing, and say, Father, speak to me.
open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Hey, quickly, right now, because I just heard somebody saying right now, he said, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, God speak to you because you are a servant of God. You are very close. And hey, shut down. Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm not just a man of God. I'm a child of God first. Is that okay? And you have to be a child of God first. So God speaks to me on the platform of the fact that I'm his child. There are so many men of God who don't hear from God because they have ceased to be children of God. So God can't speak to his equal. You didn't get what I just said right now. You have to remain a child of God for God to continually speak to you. So for instance, if you're not a child of God this morning, you need to give your life to Christ. That's the first thing. Two, if you're backslidden, you've gone out of fellowship with God, that's why he can't speak to you anymore. And if you're a child of God, you are neither backslidden nor in the faith. The time has come to activate your walk with God and know now that God speaks, and he speaks every day. He's speaking right now. As I'm preaching this service, he's already talking to some people. Why can't you hear him? Every mountain is bound to collapse if you will hear God. Come on. The time has come for you and I to begin to hear from the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. John 14, 26 says, but the helper of the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things. How many things? All things. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things. 1 John 2:20. He said, for you have an anointing from the Holy One. And he said, that anointing that you have from the Holy One makes you to know all things. Somebody say all things. You know, my son has just come up with a new slogan now. I don't know, some of you must have heard him say that. Eh? What does he say? My son will look at you and say, I know everything. And I say, sure, David, you know everything. Oh boy, you know, you're already, you are just beginning to learn. But I just discovered that God is speaking through that boy. Amen. I know all things. No, I'm not an ignorant person. In the name of Jesus, I know all things. I can't fail in life because of ignorance. No, the Bible says the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not just there for you to speak in tongues, but to make you know all things. Know all. Because you see, how can you know all things? They say, he, the Spirit of God, will sit you down and teach you all things. He will teach you all things. If you don't have anybody teach you on how to make your marriage work, log on to the frequency of the Holy Ghost. Teach me to walk with this woman. Teach me to walk with this funny boy that came from the village, Lord. Teach me, Lord, this guy is too village for my liking, Father. Teach me to handle this kind of a man, Lord. Teach me to handle this kind of a person that comes from a strict traditional path. Holy Ghost, teach me all things. He can teach you business. The one who made them to bring coin out of the mouth of a fish. How did he know the fish would be there at the right spot? When have you ever had that fish swallow coins? Can teach you all things. The one that teaches Esther to appear before the king and get the favor of the king on the platter of gold can teach you all things. The one that taught David how to find his way to the palace will teach you all things. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? The one that taught the poor how to become rich, how to sit with the mighty. The one that taught Joseph in the absence of a pastor in Egypt. The one that taught him how to rise through the ranks and then become the person that is most celebrated in the land of Egypt. That God will teach you all things. He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And he said, you know all things. In verse 27, he said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, not visits you. It doesn't visit you. The anointing abides in Sam Oye. If I'm going to the market, the anointing abides in me. He said, I don't need anyone to teach me. He said, but the same anointing teaching me concerning the man of God, concerning all things. Sometimes I hear some people come to ask me, they say, Pastor, how is it that when it comes to the field of physics, you know some things to say? You come to the field of science, you have some things to say. You come to the field of leadership, you have some things to say. Because I have an anointing that abides and it teaches me all things. Rise on your feet, because this will be the last day you will ever stay in the land of foolishness. Shame is over in your life. I said mental bankruptcy is over in your life. You will never be bankrupt mentally another day. You will never be bankrupt financially another day. I come to prove prophesy over your life in the name of Yeshua al-Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, that as you move into your business world this week, you will do unspeakable exploits. Ayaboshia, I say you will do unspeakable exploits. By revelation knowledge, rise above your equals. Rise above your equals. Rise above the waters. Somebody came into this church today with a major circumstance making you cry. There is something going on in your life right now that is really, really beating you down, really drowning you. You are almost sinking beneath the sea. I come in the name of Jesus, Yeshua al-Mashiach. I come to decree concerning you that by the power of revelation knowledge, I see you rising above the circumstance. Rise above the circumstance. Rise above the circumstance. Rise above the situation. Rise above the situation. Rise above the situation. You will never be down again. You will never see shame again. You will never see setback again. In the name of Jesus Christ, from today, you are distinguished and exempted. I said you are distinguished and exempted. You shall be a wonder to many. People will look at you and will not be able to quantify you. They will not be able to strangulate you. They will not be able to tie you down. In the name of Jesus, by knowledge arise. By knowledge excel. By revelation knowledge excel. By revelation knowledge go forward. Go forward this week. Go forward this week. Go forward this week. If you receive that letter, amen, be loud in the house of